Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, people who make misleading statements about their finances when seeking legal aid could face up to 6 months in prison or a fine of €4,000. That's under planned changes to the criminal legal aid scheme announced today by the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee. For more on all of this, we're joined by James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD and Chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee, and Pat Daly, Sinn Féin's Justice Spokesperson and TD for Kerry, and you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. James, I might start with yourself, and I wonder why it is that the government felt the need to introduce these measures in the first place.
Good evening, Sarah. Good evening, Pat. Look, why did they introduce these measures? Look, I think that this is a reforming department, and I suppose it's the job of the Department of Justice to continually enhance, refine, improve the schemes that exist. I know as Chair of the Justice Committee, we process over 50% of the entire legislation coming through the Oireachtas. So it's a very busy department. It's a very busy committee, and there are multiple initiatives, big and small, coming through all the time. In terms of the detail of this initiative, look, overall, I welcome it. Look, I think it's a step in the right direction. It's always been the case that any mistruth or inaccuracy that was tendered to a court was something that was not that was taken very seriously. And there are some penalties in this if somebody is found to have fabricated the statement of means, that they can be penalised for doing so. The one thing I'd say about it, though, look, I think it's very welcome and I think it's going the right direction, but I don't think this is, and in fairness, it's not touted as being a silver bullet. I think if we look at the majority of cases that come through the courts, particularly the lower courts, where most criminal cases start out and a lot of them have finished their district court, and as someone who practices as a barrister as well, I've seen this in practice over many years, the majority of people coming before the lower courts are not people of means, full stop. Mm. It's not that they're cheating on their means. It's not that they're making up that they have means and hiding means. They just don't have means. And to be honest, that goes back to the issues of drugs and addiction. And this committee has also recommended earlier in the year a policy decriminalisation be explored. And I think really, if we want to get to the heart of taxpayers' money being spent on legal aid time and time again in repeat schemes, probably that's the elephant in the room. So I just mentioned that at the outset, that I welcome the scheme. It's very helpful. But I think that the problem with the lower courts being clogged up with repeat offenders, it primarily goes back to substance abuse and addiction issues. And really, that's where we need to focus around.
Yeah, and not people necessarily cheating the system. Because Minister Helen McEntee today at the press conference, when she was talking about this, said that currently there's no data to show where there may have been potential misuse of the system. So are we fixing a problem that doesn't exist? You know, is there any evidence to show that this is, you know, any sort of a major problem beyond a couple of cases here or there?
I think it's probably not the majority of cases that go through the system. I don't think this is a feature of them. Undoubtedly, there are some that go through, but I suppose the target of this reform is people who are not on the breadline, who are not probably on welfare, you know, at the sort of subsistence level of income, people who have perhaps hidden means or other means. And they don't, in my own experience and opinion, make up the bulk of defendants before the criminal courts. Now, of course, there are some. The other thing I'd say is that I do think this makes sense and I do think it's welcome. And one of the reasons I'll give is it's common practice already in, for example, the Dublin District Court, Judge Halpin presides there usually, that he has a system where if somebody wants to plead guilty, make a contribution to the Poor Box to charity and contribute to the costs of the prosecution, they will receive the benefit of the Probation Act. That's a very common sense system. In other words, the person who's being charged, if they plead guilty, contribution to charity and contribute to ultimately the taxpayer's cost and bring in the charges, they can then get a second chance. Mm. But the difficulty there is that it's a very sensible approach that judge has taken, but it's not consistent across all the courts in the country.
Okay, so you think really that should be considered?
Well, it's at the discretion of the individual judges.
I want to bring in Pat Daly then on this. And okay, Pat, we don't have figures for how big a problem this is or how widespread a problem this is, but either way, it could certainly be argued that even if it is only a couple of cases a year, it's better to have penalties in place for people who try to game the system.
Well, that's true. And I suppose as opposition justice spokesman, half of my job has already been done because I'm going to agree with what you said in that there is a lacking of data. And I'm going to agree with a lot of what James has said in that the majority, the vast majority of people who are coming through the system have problems with they're repeat offenders, and there is a huge difficulty, of course, within the jails. Having spoken to one ex-governor of a prison, said that there was only two counsellors, two merchant's key provided counsellors for anyone who was leaving prison, and that was for 700 prisoners inside in the Midlands. But when I received a statement this morning, the headline that grabbed me was about means-tested criminal legal aid could be withdrawn. And while I welcome a lot of what Minister McEntee and then Fine Gael, led side of the government, has said in relation to, there are mostly checks and balances in the system, access to legal representation is a fundamental right, and it must be appropriate and efficient. You're right in what you said, that there isn't a whole lot new in it, because there is already everyone who is applying for legal aid in the system already completes a statement of, it's called a statement of means now, it's now going to be called a statement of financial circumstances. There, you already have to apply if you want to get an expert witness. Solicitors already have to get a tax clearance certificate, and there are already penalties for false statements, in that the 6-month penalty is already there. It's except that the fine was £100, and now I presume it's going to be, well, the
so
proposal
that's the only
is
change
to increase it formally.
To increase the fine, as far as you can see.
As because on every single application form that's completed by someone seeking legal aid, at the very bottom of it, it says that there are penalties for completing the false statement, okay, up to 6 months.
James, is this a ball of smoke?
Can I just say one thing, Sarah? I do welcome the formalising of it. The fact that the advice scheme for people who are seen in custody in Garda Station is going to be incorporated into the new board, and that there will be advice for complainants, or even people who haven't yet complained in sexual offence type cases. But I have to say, my concern about it would be that they're bringing in time limits for claiming legal aid. I don't see any real need to have to do that. But also, when a judge, it presumes, you see, that judges aren't carrying out proper assessments. And I don't think that's the case at all. I had cases over the years where someone was asked how many cigarettes they smoked per week and then he was refused legal aid when he said he had more than 40.
Okay.
So they're going, if a judge is unsure, they're going to refer it to the board. In reality, a judge is just going to either refuse it or grant it. And then when it comes back from the board, presumably the same judge is going to have to make a decision as to whether to refuse it, to grant it, or pay that the defendant would have to pay a contribution. And I could see situations where if you brief a barrister in relation to a case, that they're going to say, well, has the assessment come back from the board yet? There's a question mark over this. Am I going to take on a case, for example, in the Circuit Court in Tralee when I have an offer of a case around the same time in Dublin? It's probably unlikely that they're going to do
it. So sorry, just
and
to be clear on what you're saying, Pat.
And it could create even more delays.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to figure out. You're saying that because now you're introducing sort of another step in the process, that this could actually create more delays.
Potentially.
Okay.
Would hope that
James, what do you say to that? Especially,
to
okay, I want to bring James back in on that. Especially, James, given both of you seem to think this isn't a big problem. Creating another step in a system when there's no problem to solve.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily convinced by that. I do agree much of what Pat says. We're agreeing with this other lot, which probably is not what you might expect sometimes, but it is a good committee. We do work well on the committee together across all parties. But look, I think one of the benefits of this is it will introduce consistency, it will introduce a formal process. Pam mentioned there about the statement of means.
Will it introduce unnecessary regulation and red tape and bureaucracy where it's not needed?
I don't think so. And if one of your reporters was to do an exercise traveling to every district court in the country, of which there are very many, many dozens, they would find probably a different approach applied in every single one of them.
Okay, well, how many cases of legal aid evasion or fraud or whatever word you want to use, where people have given the wrong information to get legal aid, have you come across in your career?
Well, we actually don't know, I suppose, because the figures aren't there.
But have you ever noticed it yourself? Yeah, personally.
No, I haven't. But to be honest, as a barrister, I wouldn't be involved. That would be a solicitor who would be dealing with the means of the client, etc. A barrister would just be making legal arguments at a later stage. But I suppose what I would say, I don't think it's a huge problem, but what I do think is, the legal aid system is there since 1962. The Criminal Justice Act was passed in 1962. That's a long time ago. That's over half a century ago. And there are many, many issues in which it's ripe for reform. Civil legal aid, childcare where there's effectively no legal aid, certainly not from the bench. The rates of legal aid. And
yeah, and indeed the rates is an interesting one, isn't it? Because there was gatherings on the steps of the courts there recently by barristers staging protests because of the rates, because they say those haven't changed in years and years and years, and it's putting people off. Yeah. So would the minister not be much better off focusing on what seems to be a real problem?
Well, I think to be fair, Minister, she is engaged in that issue as well. She did address the Bar Council dinner recently that I and Pam and other members of the Justice Committee were at, and she gave a commitment to that. And I, myself personally, as chair of the committee, have been engaged with the Criminal Bar Association on that issue. I know they're out again on the 3rd of October and making their views known. But I think that this bill is going to be referred to the Justice Committee. We will have a good examination, as is right and proper, of all these issues, including ancillary issues that may not be included in this at present. I think that would be the opportunity. The Minister's referred it to us for exactly that reason, to have a good look at it and report back to her and to James Brown as to what we think should be included, added, deleted, etc. from it.
All right. Pat, you just want to get in on the legal aid rates.
I mean, the barristers are well able to advocate for themselves, of course, but there is a one provision in this bill under Head 25 where it says that the remuneration going forward won't be, they won't ask the solicitors back for it. But the difficulty is with the district court case, the current payment rate is €50 per appearance after the brief fee is paid. And barristers, what they were complaining is some of them who are attending in the district court are getting half of that, which is €25 per appearance. So that's a problem. There, as you said yourself, there are much bigger issues in criminal justice, such as the lowest rate of judges in Europe. The Gardaí, number of Gardaí has gone below 14,000 for the first time in years. There's a serious problem with that. And there are huge delays in getting cases into court.
Yeah. Although I suppose the Minister can chew and walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, you can do more than one thing.
Well, you can, of course, accept that Fine Gael have been in power and have held the Justice Ministry for the last, is it 12 years now? And the problems seem to be getting worse.
Well, you've been engaged with the wrong thing, but Minister James Brown recently in a debate that I had with him in the chamber very publicly did commit that the district court scheme will be revised, and the system at the moment whereby a barrister being instructed to go into court acting as passes for a very small fee of as on as low as €25, and then they're relying on the solicitor to actually collect that for them and return it to them, is being reviewed, and quite likely that would become a direct payment scheme in the future. I know it only applies to a small number of people, but it's important for those that practice.
Before I let you go, when you say we'll leave Fine Gael to their own thing, do you agree problems have gotten worse under Fine Gael?
Well, look, it's always thrown around that the parties of government have been there for a long time, and I would vehemently say that Fianna Fáil have been in power since 2020 only, so I cannot stand over and speak for whatever happened the decade before that. We weren't there, we weren't in power, we weren't in ministerial office, so we would take responsibility for 2020 onwards, but whatever happened before that is a different day's work.
Yeah, you had you were supporting Fine Gael in government before that, but that's a whole other argument. We're out of time. James Lawless, we have to leave there. James Lawless and Pat Daly, thank you both for joining us. 51551 for your text.
Sarah, thank you.